And with me, again, she was here before, is Julia Lonergan, and she's going to be speaking about The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, and she's also written, that's her first book, she has a sequel to that, and welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you back again.
Thank you.
And you've written a sequel.
I did write a sequel right when I thought I was finished. It
yes.
just kept unfolding, and I hope that I'm finished now, but it just keeps coming, and yeah, volume 2 is finished.
And volume 1 was the untold story about Mission Santa Cruz when it was Mexico and the abrupt murders of the Mexican-Spanish families of the Peninsulares that are still governing, that were governing California in the post-war period of 1848 to 1876. And particularly, we're going to be learning about the Castro family, one of the wealthiest Mexican-Spanish families governing Santa Cruz, Mexico, and about the various mansions and particularly the dismemberment of Capitola's Magnolia Rose Hotel, and then who was responsible for these murders. And there's a lot more to go over. But while Buffy was singing for us, you were telling me about this time of year.
Yeah.
And do you want to share some of that with the listeners?
Well, April Fool's, everybody, it's
actually
a very sacred
and this is
moon.
Not April Fool, yeah.
And this one reason why, you know, that a culture can distort another one by saying something derogatory on actually the 1st of April, which is actually the first full moon is coming that after the Eastern Equinox. So this is our moon number one. And it's actually a sacred moon. After we cross the equinox, there's something called binding of days. And in binding of days, the Gypsy Indians where I'm from and actually Persian girls know that it's a time to make the spell of love. You know, we call the binding of days 13 days after the equinox. And that's actually where we are now. We're actually 13 days after the equinox, and the moon is holy. So happy April Fool's, everyone. I'm going to tell you a really awesome April Fool's story.
Tell us. Oh, now we're getting started with the story. First thing I want to learn about is the Rodriguez Neri Adobe, which I believe is our mission.
Yeah,
now.
It's one of the only adobe buildings that's still left standing on Mission Santa Cruz, what was actually the mission here that was reestablished under the Franciscan Order 1760. The Rodriguez Neri adobe is a significant adobe for us because it's actually the recycled bricks of the original church that fell after an earthquake in 1857. We had a 7.8 earthquake here, and it shook like the Dickens, and it brings water in through the San Lorenzo River. And the bell tower fell, but you know, it wasn't the bell tower of the mission. It was the bell tower of the First University of California, Santa Cruz, that stood right to the left of this mission. You see, the original mission faced southeast.
Yes.
It was a significant position in relationship to the moon, which I just said to you. We just crossed the easternmost moon.
Can you tell us why it's so significant?
In every culture, God goes and comes back from the east.
Uh-huh.
In Christian cultures, in Indian culture, Quetzalcoatl, when he fled Tula, he went east. The Hopi Indians, they arrived from the east. It's because, you know, God runs a great race at the Easter time, and we see what we know about planetary movements, and if we can bring that knowledge into our body, this is one main thing that the Aztec calendar did, is we could understand where we were in space and try to understand what that meant to our human soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the east is a very significant position. So all the main buildings in Santa Cruz under the Anzorans, which were southern Spanish Moors, built their buildings facing southeast or southwest.
Now, you say southern Spanish Moors. That is very significant. I don't think a lot of people are aware of the Moorish
influence.
Muslim influence.
We forget
in Santa Cruz,
exactly.
In Mexico, the war between the South and the North in Spain.
That's right. So these North-South wars play themselves out everywhere in discriminatory politics, just like North Mexico South.
Yeah.
And also this was happening in Spain. There was no such thing as Spain. The word comes from Vispania, which was a woman, a Roman wife of a Tiberius Caesar, something very long ago where women and marriage at that time was an alliance made between monarchs. And all major nation states at the turn of the century had monarchs, including Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mexicans were actually being colonized at that time from southern Spain. And these famous people deported from southern Spain when the Castellanos finally gained their influence. You see, mm-hmm. this is where we get the name Castellano, which is the language we speak, Spanish.
Castilla.
But there's a great mix of it in its Spanish and Arabic altogether, and the south was largely Moorish. So in the south, the port of Cadiz,
mm-hmm.
The family controlling the port of Cadiz was named Julius Augustus Uribe Garitana. And actually, his descendant was the president of Mexico. His name was Agustin Iturbide. And he was assassinated in 1822. This is the...
By
the Americans conspiring probably with the North Spanish Holy Roman Empire. You see, we have to draw these distinctions. The missions all along the ancient Camino Real mm-hmm. were secularized after 1776, you see.
By whom? The Roman?
No, the Jesuits were deported from Mexico for bad politics, and these were largely German and French Jesuits deported. The Franciscan order came to replace a broken Jesuit regime. This is where we get the name San Francisco.
Oh.
These were orders of converted southern Spanish men educated that were traveling at the time of the famous Martin Luther. And these are the German reforms that a breakaway Puritan group, which are my group that actually committed the murders of the Castros, and mm-hmm. they worked long and hard to make sure that they became heirs of everything and that the histories that they wrote were what we work on today. So we continually
cite...
And
who are these individuals? And is this
So, well, the landowners here, in 1808, Martina Castro had 10,000 acres here. Her mother, Maria Concepcion, actually owned the big mansion called the West Cliff Inn that overlooks
and
the boardwalk.
And were these land grants?
These are
Spanish land grants.
Made by the viceroy to Mexico. His name was Vicente Arguello Zola. And he's a very famous politician at the turn of the century. Zola. Remember the old... I accused the government of corruption, and really what we had at the turn of the century was demonization of minorities.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here, too. So we had the deportation of the Jesuits in 1776 from Mexico, which was a huge nation. In 1776, we had 13 small colonies on the East Coast. So that was not influencing Mexican politics largely at that time. It was 100 years later that the land grabs took place. And the Mexican-American War had already ended 30 years before, and there was a peace treaty in place right before the marriage.
And what was that peace treaty?
So it's the 1847 Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And Guadalupe Hidalgo was an Anzorin. He actually worked on the Camino Real.
Who were the Anzorins? Can you go into that?
Sure. So the Anzorin, it comes from the root word azulín. It means blue line. And these are line of the royalty, the royal Spanish monarchs that were receiving land grants in Mexico as presents. And the dowry of very wealthy women would travel up the Camino Real, and the Anzorins would accompany these expeditions. The most famous expedition to Northern California, where we are now, is called the De Anza Expedition. And this word, de Anzarín, comes from the royal blue line. It means the blue people. They were colonizers, the wealthiest people that controlled the peninsula, mm-hmm. but San Francisco, Santa Cruz, and Monterey were very developed. The forgery that Junipero Serra came, and there was nothing in Monterey, and then in 1847, Alfred Frederick Joseph Hines' son, Coleman Gibbs Watson, or the famous Reverend Colston of Monterey, came and founded Monterey. These are forgeries, and these were put in place, and we continue to reference them in the histories that we teach over and over.
The Anzarians were here before.
They were here. They're actually a group of Shiite Lebanese that were just pushed out of the southern peninsula, and many were deported when the Castellanos finally gained their power in the middle of the 15th century. So,
interesting.
The word California comes from the root word caliphate. And the Umayyads were the first to produce 12 caliphs. And these were emirs that were reestablished in southern Spain under the Roman dynasty. This was a very famous caliph. Yeah? And there's famous stories about how, you know, they would intermarry to make peace treaties. So he had a peace treaty with Theodore the Goth. The Visigoths, they were in the north, you see. These were the Saracens princesses. They were Christian princesses in the north. The last great marriage between the Muslims and the Christians was the son of Musa, Abid Aziz. He married the last Christian Visigoth princess, which was the wife of the assassinated Rodrigo Real Rodriguez. You see, his son actually was a founder of Mission Santa Cruz. That's the River San Lorenzo Real Rodriguez.
It's amazing.
That's the family of the governor. Santa Cruz was not a city before 1877. What they did is all the buildings that they stole in the land grabs were moved to create a city of Santa Cruz after 1877.
Oh.
1 year after the lynching of the governor, which was a Rodriguez Real, which means of the royal family of Rodriguez, Guadalajara Rodriguez
that inherited
Real.
This land grant.
In 1838, the old Joaquin Castro Moraga passed away, and he left the land grant to three people: his daughter Rafaela Castro, her husband, which was the famous governor from Joe Castro, which was lynched in 1876, and then his only youngest brother of the Castro Moragas, which was named Guadalupe Mariano. And this Castro Moraga name is as old as the root word Charlemagne. Carlos Moraga. Charlemanga.
Can you say a little bit about that?
It's a very old story of a battle here, and it took place in Mountain View, what we know today of Mountain View. It used to be called Alviso. It was the capital of North Mexico before 1833. So Alta California, the north of California, Mexico, what the capital was at Alviso. Actually, it sunk, so the city is sinking. The Anglo-Saxon began to dump in the river and clog the natural drainage of the Guadalupe and the Alviso slough, so that the water began to rise and the capital sank. And this they actually purposely destroyed.
And when was this?
This happened after the 1877 land grabs. The main mansion from Alviso that was land grabbed and inverted is the Winchester Mansion, if you can believe that. The President Uribe's son was named Luis Maria Valencia. Mm-hmm. He's the famous Gabriel Moraga. That's the name he hid under because his father, the president, was assassinated. The Anzorans were still controlling the Camino Real, and they helped the royal line escape up the Camino Real, which is the royal road. It comes from New Mexico all the way in Chihuahua. It comes
Isn't
all
that
the way
Highway
up.
1 now or Highway 101?
It's Highway 101. It goes all the way up to the Mission and Mission Dolores, where they actually brought the Empress of Mexico and hid her in 1822. And her son, Luis Maria, from the president of Mexico, was fighting already by the age 16.
So let me just go back a little bit. Okay, we had the War of Independence, Mexican War of Independence, from Spain. And then who was president immediately
right.
after?
So that's
and
what
just
it is.
Find, what
it comes together. So
for a short period, I think 8 months or
only
something.
Only 8 months.
And then
his assassination, and the government goes into hiding and into exile. The Anzorans bring the wife of the president into Mission Dolores and hide her.
Okay.
And the man who hides her is Jose Joaquin Castro Moraga, the famous son of the landowner that owned 10,000 acres here, which was Martina Castro.
It was a tight crew.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. They had to.
That's right.
Because they were fierce. So they were overthrown.
So the government was overthrown, and these things started. The royal family goes into hiding. So
the southern, basically from the southern Spanish governing
Mexico,
branch
that's
of
right.
Spain goes underground.
Goes underground. And
okay.
Jose Joaquin Castro brings Maria Pilar Licon, brings her up here, and hides her in Mission Dolores. And actually impregnates her. And that's the root of Rafaela Castro, who was the heir in 1838 to Mission Santa Cruz and to Watsonville. And
that
she was
explains it.
Her husband had a first wife, which he stayed married to, despite on papers they were actually kind of making forgeries themselves. So the Spanish were actually trying to hide who they were as well. So her husband was Governor Joe Castro. And he had a first wife, which was the famous Lydia Pacheco, who was born in 1808.
Pacheco
Pass. Yes, right. That's actually where they staged a stagecoach robbery that they set him up in and had him lynched in San Juan Bautista.
There were a lot of stories similar to this. But then just to go back to the history, so then we had the Mexican-American War.
That's right.
Where Mexico lost California, Nevada,
Utah, Texas. That's right. Well,
Utah,
this is the
Texas,
treaty. The treaty
Arizona.
Was actually, we sold the missions. So this is how it starts.
Oh, okay.
The Germans that were actually deported around the 1770s reclaimed...
The Jesuits?
Yes, this German breakaway Puritans, they actually reclaim the missions after 1847. That's what they get. The treaty is not... The treaty is actually... There's only existing as Texas and California at this time. Mm-hmm. There's no Arizona. There's
but
no New
land.
Mexico.
Yeah,
yeah, it includes Texas and California. And the master...
What we know today as those states.
As those states. They were united. They were close together. They touched each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the Empress's family was actually from Topoc, which is now Arizona, but it used to be Sonora, Mexico. That's where they lived. Well, what the point about this Texas and California was that the master clansman of the Texas Rangers and actually the Texas Lodge was a man named William Henry Burt Jones, and he was a black man. He's our famous Cornelius Nielsen. This is where we get the it's the forgery of the Loudon Nelson black man.
Oh, my.
His son was named John Burt Jones. And John Burt Jones, these are two of the co-conspirators with Alfred Frederick Joseph Hines in the land grabs. So Hines, of the Hines 57 sauce, don't get him wrong, he stole the Mexican tomatoes. You can take that to the bank.
What a corporation he developed, created.
He was the superintendent of Catholic schools in Monterey. And he actually raped very important women. So they not only stole the land, but they raped the most important women. So his...
Took the lineages.
They took the lineage straight from the Pachecos. So his first victim was actually named Carmen Pacheco Hubbard. And old Mother Hubbard, she owned Davenport.
We have a Hubbard Street here in Santa Cruz, I'm sure it's named after.
The family's still here. It's pronounced Hebert or Hebert, but the old Hubbard family owned a lot of land here. Mother Hubbard, I don't know her name. That's as far back as I go. I just know she's Grandma Hubbard, but she owned Davenport all the way probably to Monterey. She was the daughter of the Spanish viceroy, Zola. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're here, a little old, we consider Santa Cruz.
Yeah. And she married this man from Portugal named Jose Pacheco Toste. And they had these beautiful twin daughters. One of them was named Lydia Pacheco, who married the governor, Joe Castro. And she's the famous mother of the Pacheco triplets. One of them was, they keep recycling these names. It's called Pedro Alvarado, the famous Pedro Alvarado. You see, these are southern Spanish names.
Mm-hmm.
In the north, we have Hernan Cortez, which is where we get the name Hernandez. Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
But from the south, they're Alvarado. That means the chief one. Al, it's like a prefix in Spanish, el.
El, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so it's Al Viso. It means the view. And now it's Mountain View. So Luis Maria was actually a colonel here in 1800. He was the president's son. So the president of Mexico, when he went into hiding, his son was already a colonel here in his 30s. And he started building, before 1832, this famous mansion called the Winchester Mansion in San Jose. This one is a really good testament to what they've done to invert history and to lie. The Winchester Mansion has the name Winchester on it. It's not a real woman. Who they call Miss Winchester, they're calling her a company name. Everybody knows the rifle, Winchester. It's a company name. It's not a woman's name. The Bengal boys actually were involved in the land grab.
Tell us a little bit. I know the last time you were on, you spoke about the Bengal boys, but could you talk a little, because they're so key to this whole historical.
So the Bengal boys, well, the main one was Alfred Hines, Alfred Frederick Joseph Hines.
And he was the Congregational minister?
He was a Congregational minister. He was a trustee to the libraries. He was one of the first owners of the bank here. He was one of the main real estate owners here, and he wrote many of the forgeries that have been introduced to us that we continually recite as official Santa Cruz history. He worked with another man.
There's been so much distortion.
He was an expert in distortion and rape and incest, and he did horrible things in the mission. Volume 2 goes into specifically what happened in Mission Monterey under him.
And what is the name of your second book?
It's the same. It's called The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, Mexico, and it traces 1708 to 1876, and it just says Volume 2. And they're both available on Amazon. So I have them posted online. I used free software. I totally did it.
Because a lot of people have been asking me where they can purchase the book. Yeah. Are you going to get them in any local bookstores, do you think?
I'd like to put them local, but it's 40. They want 40%. It's very expensive.
Oh.
So we're totally producing independently, and I have one second author, which I have to pay, and she's a little girl that lives in the Bayview Hotel.
Yes, Angelica.
Yeah.
Sienna.
They have 14 bedrooms of the old stolen Magnolia Rose. So there was this mansion that connected the seafront Capitola mansion to the Rispin mansion, the Rispin mansion is a four-story, 22-bedroom, solid stone mansion built on Wharf Road right off the Capitola Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They used to control water just like in Amsterdam so that boats could enter, and that was the Mexican White House at Capitola when the capital was here in 1853. They won't tell you the truth.
No, maybe that's why it's called Capitola.
Yeah, that's why. That's why. And you know
Capitola.
Why it's called Soquel? Well, they can't pronounce even what it's called. Soquel comes from the Nahuatl word Xochel, which means flower, which is the last glyph on the Aztec calendar right before God stands up on the Eastern Equinox. It's a glyph. It means flower. It's spelled X-O-C-H-I-T-L. But you see, we don't know how to deal with the X in our culture.
No.
So we make it an S. And then also the CH, we made a Q, and we lost the T. So instead of the old Nahuatl, which is Xochil, or Soquetil, which means mud and flowers, which is actually what was abundant, I'm sure. But there was no Soquel. It was called the San Andres land grant.
So what we can talk a bit about then... the mansion and then the dismembering of the mansion and where it went, and then those that were living there and the royal family and
murders
their
dismemberment,
the murders, and then go back to the Bango Boys because they were the ones that were so key to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened right in Santa Cruz, and to be aware of what our true history is.
Mm-hmm.
Is
and then they made
so
it like
central.
An isolated community where they actually controlled populace coming and going from here. So there was a train
they
that
controlled
used to go.
What? Populations.
Populations. Mm-hmm. So it was very hard before the Black Civil Rights Movement for any people of color to actually live here. It's still like
this.
It can be segregated. There used to be a train that went under the Santa Cruz Mountain, right under the Lexington Reservoir. There was a city. It's now underwater.
Wow.
There was a train that made it accessible to Santa Cruz.
Word.
They blew it up. You
oh,
see?
My gosh.
Mm-hmm. And then the train actually connected many cities together, and it connected the Magnolia Rose all the way up to San Francisco. And this Magnolia Rose faced southeast on the Esplanade.
So important.
It's a wonderful mansion. The Bayview Hotel was on the cliff above, and that's been moved twice, so that the forgery of the history of the Bayview starts with its last move towards the west. But they don't tell you. They took it off the sea cliff, moved it east, and then moved it west, so that papers of the forgery start with the last move. You see, this is how you do it. You still, if you move it twice, you only keep the last papers of the last move, and then you say that's when it was built or moved. Let me tell you another one that was...
That's why they were moved so often.
You know what's the scariest thing about this is the people that were actually murdered in 1876, the Bango Boys checked in one day after the actual celebration of Easter. So we're all getting ready to celebrate Easter on the 21 or so of April, which is the kind of... It should be the new moon of April. They're going to move it to the full moon. So we're going to see it on
Sunday?
The 4th. Yeah. It's early. So actually, they're moving it to the full moon that's coming, but it should be between the 16 and the 21. This is actually Mosaic law. This comes at the time of the Exodus, the Hebrew Exodus.
So this is Mosaic law.
What we all celebrate as Easter is Mosaic law. It's very interesting, but see, the Persians celebrate it on its original time, which is March 19th. That's Persian New Year, and it's actually the anniversary of the bombing in Iraq. You see how they pollute?
Yes, I do.
And then what happened is they were building the temple, but because we were a month behind in building the temple, a Persian king named Artaxerxes moved the dates to April 21. So everybody celebrates some order of the Eastern Star a month later, and that's what we all wait for. That's what Easter means, Eastern. And the Order of the Eastern Star here was actually Islamic. So my ancestors here, when it was California, Mexico, were Moors. And the churches were secularized, which meant the missions were not practicing Catholic masses. This happened after the Germans reclaimed them.
What were they? Institutions of
learning and higher education. They were already like monuments to history.
Or what were they teaching?
I don't know exactly what they're teaching, because the evidence of a University of California at Santa Cruz has been erased. You know the bell tower that sits in downtown right at the in front of the head of
yes.
town? That used to be on top of the old high school facing the other direction. And that
I
was
love
a university.
The insights that you bring every time I talk with you.
Yeah, so the entrance
incredible.
Was, again, southwest. It came up that rolling hill, which is now a field that you can't access because there's a freeway and a fence and roads.
To break the energies.
Yes. And then also now only homeless wandering around that those train tracks. They actually, mm-hmm. what they did is they moved the train tracks and they blew a hole under the sacred mountain.
Mm.
So if you look underneath Santa Cruz Holy Mountain where the church stood, they blew a hole.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. And then the original...
And in your book, you have many photos showing how similar the architecture of certain mansions are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sacred sites where they were destroyed.
Mm-hmm. So each book
it's
has...
It's all verified
in imagery.
In your book. You've done an incredible mm-hmm. job in your research. And
I'm an expert in material culture. So that's kind of what I
you
do.
You are.
I write about old rock cities. And this is my first wood city. Santa Cruz is a wood city, and there's a few adobes.
Because you've been down south.
I'm from down south. I'm from the Rio Grande River Valley, where I lived on the Southern Tigua Indian Reservation, and a hop, skip, and jump from the sacred Chaco Canyons, where we can make pilgrimages on the sacred equinox and solstice.
Aren't you fortunate?
It showed me how to start looking at history. And then when I came to Santa Cruz, I said, where's your rock cities? I got to mm-hmm. find the sacred space. They said, well,
where's home?
They all kind of fell. But back to the Rodriguez Neri adobe, let me tell you, those are the recycled adobe from the original church that was not there. They took those bricks after an earthquake and built that as an orphanage. It wasn't a school. It was an asylum for mentally ill children.
So it wasn't an orphanage.
They said it was an all-girls school. If you go right now, they'll tell you the official history. It was an all-girls school, and they say all this about neophytes and Indians. It's just a hogwash. The reality was is that Neri, the root word of Neri comes from Hern, Kearney, and it's a German word. Hein, it means mister. So he was like a king because we called him Mr. Mr. Heinz comes from the German Hein. It means mister. And so we were like, and the root word of Hein has become Kern and Kearney and Neri and Perry and
Carney.
It's the same.
My.
And so he changed, he fudged the name so that he could claim everything. So his name's on that. Rodriguez, it did belong to the Rodriguez family. Because Santa Cruz was not a city. Before the land grabs, mm-hmm. Santa Cruz was a mission.
It was Villa Branciforte, you had told me.
Villa Branciforte was the city.
Villa Branciforte.
And Santa Cruz was a mission.
Small area.
Uh-huh. It was the private ranch of the governor called Rancho Refugio, or the Ranch of Refuge, where his family lived. So those big mansions on the hill belonged to the family Rodriguez Real, not the Wileys who have their name on it. The Wileys were land grabbers.
Were they part of the Bango Boys?
They weren't part of the Bango Boys, but they married in two generations later. So Robert Wiley and John Wiley, they're very, very established textbook publishers, John Wiley and Sons. I buy my textbooks from them that we use in the university. They're wealthy.
And you know their true history.
Yeah. They married into a line of the Lonergans. This is why I know so much of these things.
That's you or a last name?
That's me, yeah. So my
you've got it on both sides.
I know these people. I know these people
both
well.
Both sides of it, the murderers and the victims.
Uh-huh. I know the murderers and the victims. And the book has 50 pictures, each book, and they're all color. And we're doing all independent publishing, so there's nobody editing us, and we're telling the real history of Santa Cruz.
And you also write about the hauntings of these buildings, and I know that when people enter them, sometimes they do feel that. I know the hair on the back of my neck actually began to curl when we went into a bed and breakfast together.
Let me tell you a story about mm-hmm. Mission Monterey. Was Alfred Joseph Hines was already superintendent of schools, and he raped Carmen Pacheco. And Carmen Pacheco had a daughter from him. And then this daughter, he actually raped. Her name was Lorena Hine. These are my family. Lorena Hine, he raped her. He had a daughter through incest named Princetta Lincoln Sullivan. She's the wife of Coleman Watson, who renamed the San Andres land grant Watsonville. There was no such family as the Watson family here. You see, Grandpa Hine made up the name Watson because he was having incest with his own offspring.
So they were changing their names as well to cover their tracks.
He was changing his name because there was birth being born to women in a convent where there was no men. How are these women getting pregnant? So he actually, what we found out was that we thought Rosemary Castro went missing in 1838. She was the last wife of Joaquin Moraga, Castro Moraga. She was actually the daughter of the mayor of Branciforte, who was named Tiburcio Vasquez, and he was smeared as a Mexican bandit and lynched. But his last daughter, her name was Rosemary, and her old man was 73, the Castro, when he died, and she was only 22. So all of a sudden, it's 1838, the Castro patriarch is dead. His wife goes into a convent, and guess what? That's Alfred Hine's convent, and he rapes her.
Oh, my God.
And in 1841, guess who the first baby born is? Matilda Hearn.
Oh.
So that's Grandma Matilda, you see. And Grandma Matilda, this is Grandpa Hine's daughter. And so he had these two kids, one from Carmen Pacheco that was named Lorena Hine, and then he had Matilda Hine or Hearn, which
and
is...
what happened to them?
Well, Matilda actually married one of the Bango boys.
Which one?
John William Peyton Lafayette. These are Williams' sons. They owned a bar up in Felton.
Can you tell us a bit about the Bango boys? And they came from the East Coast to basically take
they
from...
They came after the American Civil War.
The legitimate land grant holders.
That's right.
After the Civil War.
That's
you
right.
talk about that in your book
So we have the 1847 Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ends the Mexican-American War.
And what did that state exactly?
That the Mexicans on their land, even though we were going to become incorporated into the United States, had rights to their land, to their language, and to their possessions. We didn't lose the war and give our stuff.
Yeah.
That's the biggest lie there is. And that there was a gold rush onto the land. The problem is it's private land. You can't come and mine for gold on my ranch. And they didn't want to do that. You see, this is what they did, is they signed a peace treaty because they were turning inward. The American Civil War was heating. And they signed a peace treaty with Mexico, and they started fighting the Civil War against themselves in the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fight it here.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fight the Civil War here.
It was in the Deep South.
You know what? That's the forgery of the Winchester Mansion about the guns and the gun running on the Civil War. It's not true. Because, you see, that woman who they say Miss Winchester, she was just a little girl at that time, and I know who she is. I just got to be sensitive because the family's still here. But she was a little sister of two of the other killers, which are also buried in the Harvey West, and she was the second wife of Samuel Prescott Bush.
The second
wife of Samuel Prescott Bush.
I know you told me that Samuel Prescott Bush had been here in Santa Cruz, and the first time you said it, I just had really a hard time wrapping my head around that idea. And he had another name, too.
Yeah, he lived here under another name. He's the famous McLaughlin Bean. And
when
that
I
mansion
think
is
McLaughlin
there.
McLaughlin Bean and the famous L.L. Bean Company.
That's him.
That is wild.
That's wild.
That really is. And so he was one of the Bango boys. These were, you said, Freemasons, basically. And yet, you know, one question I had, this is an aside. Eastern Star, my family, some of them were Freemasons, but on a very, very low level.
Mm-hmm.
From the other side, too. Making amends. And the young girls became Eastern Star initiates.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that?
I don't know, but I know that a lot of it has to do, the women's movement started from there, and a lot of what we did salvage was the wife of these men saying, oh no, and women were organizing and did a lot of the protecting of any kind of protections that were instilled later, because they wanted to change the names on
everything,
too.
Names were always changed of organizations. But anyway, So the Bango boys from Ohio, you said, New York,
Tennessee,
Pennsylvania,
Virginia, South Carolina.
Came over here to take the land.
Well, okay, what's happening now then is we have a civil war raging. We have the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. Huh? You know, it's funny.
Lincoln.
It's this, Rafaela's last name is also Lincoln.
Sounds like Rincon.
You know what? They're probably not telling us the truth about the real rulers at this time. He could have been a Moor as well. Have you had a good look at him?
Yes.
Lincoln.
And
the name is the same. So Rafaela's last name is also Lincoln. And she was the wife of the governor, the daughter of the empress, hiding. You see, Mexico had a strong power here. They won't tell you the truth. Let me tell you, her brother Luis Maria.
In Spain, the Moorish and Sufi.
They're Sufi. Yeah, it's Sufi. It is. Rafaela's brother Luis Maria. He started building. He was the heir to all El Viso. So he was adopted when his father was assassinated. He was adopted by the Castro Moragas, and his stepmom was Maria Antonia El Viso. She had 44,000 acres from El Viso to Berkeley. They also owned Stanford University, and it was already built. Another forgery. Sanford,
so another
Saxon,
university that was built, well, the Institution of Learning.
Reverend Sanford Saxon. This is an old line that goes back to Oral B. Roberts, and these are where these Jones family comes from.
Oral B. Roberts?
Yes, Robertson. Nancy Robertson married Benoni
Jones.
You've
done your homework.
Yeah.
You learned a lot just growing up, too. What a memory.
Well, so what my point was about the Luis Maria started building what they call today the Winchester Mansion before 1832. He went away to the Mexican-American Wars, so he wasn't there while it was being built. He didn't have any idea, I'm sure, that it was going to be used for bad propaganda, mm-hmm. because that house is built entirely upside down. It's not one room or the stables or a bar that's upside down. The whole house is built upside down as a homage to our high culture of the Masons in Mexico under the Spanish.
Oh, my gosh.
Take any picture of that mansion and turn it upside down, and you'll see that it becomes just like a Salvador Dali optical illusion. It's an optical illusion. The only audience for that house is God. And it's a homage to the earthly God, because they walk you around there and all they do is propagate lies in each minuscule corner of that mansion as they drag you through the walls. They don't even take you through the main mansion. And then they don't tell you the truth. The dates start in 1832. They don't tell you it's Mexico. In 1837, there's major death and dividing of land. They don't tell you it's still Mexico. They don't tell you that that's the capital.
Wow.
Why would that beautiful mansion be there and belong to a Miss woman who they say didn't have visitors, that Roosevelt showed up and didn't go in, that no one exited or entered the doors? It's a load of, that's not true. It's baloney. The truth is that house was built by the son of the Mexican president who went off to war. Luis Maria, he was actually assassinated in 1833. And then Alviso, all that whole land was left to his wife, who fled with the Castros to the Castro Adobe here that overlooks Watsonville. It was built in 1832. That was like their ranch, their hideaway. These were very important people. And he didn't even know that Rafaela was his sister, because they hid her in an orphanage until she was 8 years old.
Didn't they hide quite a few of the royalty?
They had to.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even tell them who they were.
And then you said that the children, the orphanage was really an insane asylum for the children of the widowed women.
And the orphans. The orphans who were actually assassinated. So maybe Winchester guns work there, because there was a lot of raw gun battles going on in the north, in El Viso.
It's so close, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then those children, every children that didn't have a mother or father received $100. That's a lot of money 130 years ago. Received $100 from the federal government for each orphan. So one of my famous orphans that's in there is George Castro. He was Rosemary Castro's last son when Joaquin died.
Where?
He was in both orphanages. He was here in Mission Santa Cruz at the Rodriguez Neri Adobe when it was an orphanage. There was a park out there, and they didn't let the kids play outside. He was actually transferred. He had his hand smashed in the door. He was transferred to Mission Monterey, where if you go into what they call the first library, look and see, there's a Southern-style torture box there. And he was put in that for 2 weeks or more, probably. He was extremely emaciated, you know, and he was beaten to death and he was burned alive. And
horrifying.
He was burned alive in that room.
Horrifying.
If you go look at the walls, and you'll see sketched inside the adobe on the outside, it says, "I love Alicia." You see, he wrote that. Alicia Sullivan was one of Alfred Hines' offspring from incest. And she never lived
How
her
tragic.
Life outside the orphanage. She lived. She was born in the orphanage and she died in the orphanage.
So these children were basically put in insane asylums.
And
the heirs.
And George Castro, he was a 21-year-old. He was very malnourished, very skinny, kept in a Southern-style torture box. And it's there for everybody to see. I encourage you to go to Monterey and tell them to stop calling that a library, because it was a place where Mr. Hines sat with his victim in a box where the head could stick out, only the head. And in that scenario, George Castro listened to the way he was going to be killed.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
And they repeated curses, I'm sure, as they did this. You see, these are old rituals. The Masons had some old rituals, and who they really worship, I'm not sure. But they did a lot of really bad stuff. And it wasn't just like he was murdered. He was actually tortured over time. He died at the age of 21, and he was small enough to be put inside a furnace.
Because he was so malnourished.
And he was actually the boyfriend of my grandma Alice Sullivan. So thank God, because Mr. Hines was
you
so
really
busy raping.
That.
Yeah, I'm so happy. Because, see, what happened is that Rosemary...
Happy?
I'm happy that George Castro got some sperm in.
Oh. Okay.
I'm happy that... I mean, yeah. Because what happened is that Alfred Hines was raping Alice Sullivan since she was 10 years old. Nobody believed her because she's, you know, the preacher's daughter. So nobody believed her that she was being raped by him. Her boyfriend, when she was 14, was George Castro. He was 21.
Oh.
They both lived inside the orphanage. And he was actually, for his confession, which is etched in the adobe, because adobe dries and holds its information forever. The stone speaks. Go look. I encourage anybody to go look on the outside wall before you enter. He carved his confession. And for that confession, he was killed. Mm-hmm. George Castro. He's Rosemary Castro's son.
For those of you just listening, just tuning in, we're speaking with Julia Elizabeth Lonerhan about the Haunting Mission Santa Cruz and the true history, Mexican history of Santa Cruz.
Yeah, so there's two main themes of the book. So one is the real history behind the murder of the Castros and how they officially stole the San Andres land grant, which is 10,000 acres on this side of the hills, the mountains, and then the San Antonio land grant, which was left to the son of the Mexican president, Luis Maria, and his wife, Maria Loretta Berryessa. Bella Reza means beautiful laughter. That's where we get San Jose Berryessa from.
Uh-huh.
Bella Reza. They had 44,000 acres on the side of San Jose. So the other very poignant theme of the book is to deal with the inversion of the stolen properties and the murders that took place in these properties.
And the murderers.
So if you consider the murder that took place, okay, so let's go back to the Mission Church. Who's there? When it originally was in its original southeastern and southwestern facing position, they used to bury themselves under the floor on the western side in something called a habit, Franciscan habit.
Mm-hmm.
So under the floor... Joaquin Castro petitioned the Viceroy of Spain to bury his mother and his grandmother and himself. They're under there. They moved to the church, but not the people. Wait a minute, it's worse. The eastern side was a cemetery that's divided. So the wall that exists that they say is a foundation, it's not true. It's a wall of a segregated cemetery.
Segregated?
Uh-huh, which means the people in the front had more, I don't know, dignified burial. The back, yeah, were more. And they buried them all the way up to the mountain.
So who were those that, those that didn't have the wealth?
I'm not sure. The church has been gone since 1857 completely. And the recycled bricks have been inverted 180 degrees. So that the back room was the front room, and the front room was the back. So that by the time you're in the back of that tour... You're actually only coming into the holy front room of what used to be a church, where dead people were buried to the right side, to the left side, sorry. And those people, what creates the haunting is that the buildings have been moved and they can't rest.
Yeah.
So what happened is that there used to be a cemetery on the eastern side of that church, and they moved all the stones in to create a new cemetery called Harvey West. That wasn't there, which means the people aren't there either. Stones are there, but the people got left in mass graves underground.
Oh, my word.
And that's inside the horrible. Harvey West, I know one person that is in there, and that's little Carrie Bean. She's a character in my book. She
Bush's
was daughter.
Descendant daughter.
Bush's, Samuel Prescott Bush had a daughter here with one of the Castros. So Mr. Castro had four marriages that I can count. Yeah. His first one, but his second family, when he was 40, he married a German-Spanish heiress to Alviso, and her name was Maria Antonia. They had the San Antonio land grant, and they had a little daughter, and her name was Amelia, and they called her Cookie, and that's Cookie Castro. She owned the bed and breakfast on Soquel and Park that's called the Rose Garden. She had a lot of money. So she would have been the half-sister to Prescott Sheldon Bush, same father, different mothers. Now, her stepmother is Miss Winchester.
Oh, and that's
I'll tell you the connection. Mm-hmm. Mary Armory Case, and she's buried in the Harvey West right as you enter with two headstones. You guys go visit her. Take her some flowers because Mary's there.
Yeah.
She was a very mean teacher. She was actually also a superintendent. No, she was the wife of the superintendent, so she was a school teacher here on the mission.
So these souls cannot rest. They don't know where they are.
They're lost.
Their homes, their mansions have been destroyed, taken apart.
Moved around.
Pieces moved
around.
And where else have they been moved to?
So if we go back to what happened on April 22nd, 1876.
Right around Easter.
Right, one day after the Holy Moon, after Easter and Holy 7 days, which we call Semana Santa, which means Holy 7 days, Holy Week of Easter, they checked into the Magnolia Rose, this great mansion, maybe 100 rooms that sat on the Capitola Esplanade, and they never left. Who checked in? Klaus Spreckels, one of my killers. Alfred Hines, the stealer of the tomatoes. Mr. McLaughlin Bean, who's really a bush. My two brothers, who are missing from their gravestones in the Harvey West, are Lucian and Royal Heath. That's a family that's still here. Much respects to them because they're a really good family these days. I know that. Williamson Sons. So let me tell you his real name.
These were all East Coasters. Is that what you're...
They're from Tennessee, from Ohio. Okay, yeah, I keep trying to say is that they came after the American Civil War. They fought in the Civil War. Let me tell you
to
first.
To get the land?
No, they fought in the American Civil War as the Southerners who lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came here with their Ku Klux Klan tactics and used them. It was secret.
Wow.
It wasn't an open. It was all secret society.
They usually are.
The Grand Master of the Texas Lodge of San Benito County was my grandfather, John William Peyton Lafayette. He was a Texas Rangers. They were Ku Klux Klan. John Henry Jones, Ku Klux Klan, Grand Master, Texas.
Ooh.
His son, John Burt Jones. That's the father of my grandma, Leona Jones. Leona's mother, Agnes Elizabeth Hines. You see?
Yes, I do.
Agnes Elizabeth Hines. I got to play, I played jacks with her when I was a little girl. I remember her.
You didn't know what you know now.
No, but you see, her oldest sister was Ada Bell Watson.
Oh.
And Ada Bell was the daughter of Coleman Watson, which was the son of George Castro and Alice Sullivan, but they didn't know. Hines didn't know that it was George Castro's son because he had been raping Alice since she was 10. And so Alice had a boyfriend, too, when she was 14. So she had the rape of her father and her boyfriend. Nobody knew whose sperm it was.
So much incest.
But it was George Castro's sperm because Coleman was a very good man, a very beautiful man, a beautiful smile. And my grandma Agnes very much resembles Coleman. So I know that Coleman didn't die in 1887. There's another shift of names at this time. Very critical year around 1890.
That was a common habit.
To change the names? Yeah, that's what happened. Lonergan comes from...
Tactic, I should say.
They had to hide who they were. So
yeah.
William Peyton... His name was Peyton. They say he was from Lafayette. You know, Lafayette can be here in California, eh? But you know Lafayette, he said he's from Virginia, somewhere Louisiana. Well, they're from Alabama. Yeah, they're from Alabama. And William Peyton Lafayette, his two sons worked with him in these killings. And those are my grandpa's actual oldest uncles. Mm-hmm. Oldest uncles. And they were killed. They were killed, actually, by Alexandra Castro, who was the daughter of the governor. She posed as a man. In book one, she's my character named William James Riley. She was a woman, but she infiltrated
Brave.
The Freemasons as a
wow.
man. And she saw what was going on, and that's the only reason why my grandma's grandma lived. Because
we're able
she fled.
To. Yeah, escape.
My grandma's grandmother fled here at the age of 11.
Mm-hmm. What a movie this would make.
I found her inside 100 years of the Freemasons.
What?
They acknowledged that she existed, that she had a lot of land. She was a man, that she had two kids, but you see, she was hiding the children.
They never found out.
Of Rafaela.
How did she?
She didn't
God.
Have any breasts. She was very flat-chested. That also runs in the family.
This is incredible.
So yeah, Alexandra Castro killed Williamson's sons, but they became known as William's sons. But they lost Peyton. His real last name was Peyton, and then after that was Lafayette.
I have a caller coming in here.
Sure,
you can just go on.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, so William Peyton Lafayette, this is where we get the name Lonergan, Latagan. If you go into the new Santa Cruz High School that's on Walnut and you read the wall, all the killers actually put a testimony to themselves on that wall. So the Santa Cruz High School has a wall that's dedicated to the killers, and all their names are there. And so my grandpa's oldest brother is there. His name was Carlos James Lenahan or Lonergan. It comes from Lafayette, because they didn't want to say Lafayette, because those are mm-hmm. Williamsons, and they were Ku Klux Klan. Well, it wasn't Klan anymore, you remember? So Lincoln's assassinated in 1866. Mm-hmm. The Klan goes under by 1870, and they're actually called the Know-Nothings.
Yes.
And they are just working now as a breakaway group of Freemasons. There were 10 of them. These
breakaway.
Are the Bangle Boys.
B-A-N-G-O Boys.
And the little daughter, who's actually missing from the Heath family tree, if they acknowledge that they don't know where she is, Mary Heath. That's my character, Mary Armory Case, and she was the second wife of Samuel Prescott Bush. And her two little children are pictured hanging in a main piece of the Magnolia Rose, which is now the McLaughlin Mansion on Beach Hill.
The McLaughlin. Oh.
And those two children.
I think you took me there.
I did. I took
we
you
just
to have
outside.
A tour.
We didn't get
it's
to go
beautiful.
In, though. Yeah, we'll have to go in next time.
The people are very nice, I have to say. The people have received me very well, and all these homes that I've actually entered and spoken with the people, they've been lovely.
Do you share with them the histories?
I do, to a point that they want to hear, and what they don't want to hear, I stop right there. So a lot of times, people will lead me to a window and say, look outside, what you're talking about was over there and it burned down. For example, there's the Heinz Victorian Mansion. That's here in Santa Cruz on Chestnut.
Yes, we
That's
went there too.
That's a piece of the Magnolia Rose. That's 11 bedrooms that used to be attached in the middle of the rest of the mansion when it was in Capitola. And the Red Room, it's a bar in downtown Santa Cruz. What's recycled in that bar came from the Magnolia Rose, too.
Wow. And one more thing. The land grants, the land commission established
1853.
By 1853. That purpose was to honor the land grants.
It was
wasn't
to
it?
Validate them.
To and they, what actually happened?
They
that
used
was all inverted.
The courts to mess up the ownership. So the U.S. Land Commission was created in 1853 to validate the Spanish and the Mexican titles to their land.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that everybody now, we're, you know, becoming a member of the Union, and so they have a new court. This is the way California was lost. It was lost through courts. Hines actually worked with Amesti, Ernesto Amesti of Corralitos, because see, that's where the San Andres land grant border ended, on Corralitos.
Amesti school, yeah.
It's still up there. Well, Amesti also created a forgery, because he actually got part of the land. He claims also to be married to Rafael. So what they did is they took Rafaela Castro, they erased her husband, the governor, because they lynched him. They smeared the mayor. They lynched the mayor. Hines raped Rose Castro, raped the Pachecos, they assassinated Lydia Pacheco. Her daughter, Alexandra Castro, fled to Texas with the two little girls. One of them is my grandma's grandma.
Boy.
And they rewrote history after that. They made Santa Cruz very inaccessible. They started to control the populations here, and
mm-hmm.
then they resurrected false
and
histories of everything they stole. So, the like, for example, Lulu Carpenter's is
yes.
the coffee shop.
Oh, that, we go there often.
It used to be a hall of records in Branciforte.
What happened
in a
to the
park.
Records?
All the records before 1954 are missing. Every marriage record of Branciforte is gone. And from the time the Bangle Boys signed in, for 100 years
Amazing
forward,
Julia.
Not a single Mexican name on the roster. Anybody wants to see the
Boy,
Bangle Boys
Boy, they had their
signing?
Mission, and they accomplished it, or so they thought until you came into town.
Yeah, and you know, I did this just to
Julia.
Kind of be creative, and it's my tribute to the mentally ill
yeah.
here. Because
yeah.
I want them to know what happened and why we're struggling here in Santa Cruz, because there was a huge falsification of history. Everything that's in Santa Cruz was actually stolen and brought from somewhere else, and it wasn't built by the Germans or the Anglos. It was actually built by the Mexicans when it was Mexico,
uh-huh.
and is a very high culture, and the mansions attest to the high culture
and
the inversion of history. Yeah, there was a university up there. The bell tower was on it. They took it down. Go look at the other side. That's where the bell tower went.
Yeah.
I found it on a dish. A lot of what I found exists in images because I
you know what to
I have
look
a subtle
too.
Eye. Right now I'm having an art show that's up at the Diversity Center.
Uh-huh.
It's going to run for another week.
And that's on Soquel Avenue.
It's on 1117 Soquel, right by the tattoo shop and the Whole Foods and the fire station.
And it's running for another week.
It's going to run for another week. I'm showcasing a painting I did of the magnolia rose. If anybody wants to see what it really looked like. It's an amazing, most beautiful mansion that they're actually saying they want to put back up there with all their, you know, officials of what it was. And they're trying to distort that it was actually a Spanish mansion there. They'll say Victorian and it was square. It's a lie. Go see the painting. I have 12 paintings.
Is your book on sale there as well?
And flyers to order the book are there. And if you just Google Amazon and The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, you can read pages on it online.
And you told me that you're going to be on community television.
That's right. I'm a member of community television.
Are you?
Yeah, and we're going to go ahead and start writing. We'll write a little introductory just to the art, because the purpose of the art was to set up a holy circle just so that my dead people could kind of learn what happened to them,
mm-hmm.
and that we could calm a little bit of the reoccurring nature of mental illness in Santa Cruz. So mm-hmm. I'm a psychologist as well. I have a mm-hmm. PhD in psychology, and I come mm-hmm. from an Indian reservation where herbal and holistic medicine matters and words mm-hmm. matter. So mm-hmm. I want to give to my people out there some truth, some true words as good mm-hmm. medicine, and just tell everybody, something happened bad in Santa Cruz in the past, but the spells are ending.
And if you want to know more, pick up her book, The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, Mexico, 1708 to 1876. And I'm going to have you on again, because there is just so much, and we can only get so much in an hour. I'll have to schedule you for a few hours, and then people call in
we'll
and ask questions.
Blast.
Oh, we will.
We'll have a blast.
We always do.